Thank you very much for tuning in. Joining me in studio, fellas from the Protect Water Rights Coalition. Just two of them this time. Just two of y'all this time. Everyone, I guess everyone else is busy.
That's
y'all have stuff to do. Y'all are busy in the mornings. Guys, welcome back. Introduce yourselves to the audience, won't you?
Well, I'm Leland Stuckey with the Protect Water Rights Coalition.
I'm J. O. Dowdy with Protect Water Rights Coalition.
For folks who maybe missed the first time we had you in studio, it was earlier in August. Tell folks what the Protect Water Rights Coalition is.
Well, our organization was formed to actually as a kickback against the previous board's rules that were enacted of they were going to limit us to 15 acre inches per year to be able to pump. And seeing that that was not a workable situation for a lot of us, you know, we kind of bowed up and kicked back against that. And as a result of that, the board changed. Four of the five members changed, and but this board has come along now and enacted an 18-inch rule, which, you know, in my viewpoint, any restriction on my private property is an infringement upon my private property.
Right. What we're really talking about here is this is water that is on your land, y'all's land, your private property, and they want to put restrictions on how much you can use.
Right.
Whereas if it was any other resource, it's yours and there are no other restrictions, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Let me add this. You know, the other board started with 18 and then we're going to drop it to 15 at a certain year. And the rules that this board has enacted, they say starting in 2015, January 1 of 2015, will be limited to 18 inches. They don't predict anything in the future. They're not putting anything out there for a future target, you know, like the other board was doing.
Right. And I know the last time we visited with you, there was an upcoming session from the HPWD where they were getting public info, public comments. They were also deciding some certain rules. This is in conjunction with an ongoing court case as well. Tell us where we're at right now.
Well, the court case has not been decided yet, and that's what we were encouraging this board was to hold off enacting any rules until this Bragg case before the Texas Supreme Court was decided to, you know, see where it came out. And, you know, the president of the board has mentioned that this is a, you know, a watershed case. And so I don't understand why there was such a rush to enact rules before this case came out. So that's kind of where we're at on that. We're still waiting for that decision.
Well, and also mentioned was they don't think that that case, you know, just like the Day case, they don't feel like that had any bearing on us. Well, I think we're still in Texas, as you know, that Day case should have had some bearing on that affects private property. They said there was a taking on that situation, and if there was a taking there, there's a taking for the same actions here.
Yeah, and depending on the, you know, the rules that are set, depending on what happens with the court case, how does this impact you guys? How does this impact farmers in general in West Texas, ag producers in West Texas? How does it affect people who have you know, other jobs where they're not even interacting you know, with you know, they have no idea where you guys are coming from? How does this impact them?
Well, let me say, all these rules are very discriminatory towards small landowners, towards small tracts of land. You know, the larger tracts, if you've got several tracts together, they're contiguous acres, really protects them above the small landowner. And, you know, most of these farmers around here have a quarter section over here, maybe half over there, and it's all spread out. And, you know, it's just very discriminatory in all these rules.
Well, and it, you know, it encourages people to put contiguous acres together so right. that, you know, so that it doesn't impact them.
Right.
And so in my viewpoint, you know, what HPWD has done was got in the business of land and resource management. And, you know, I just don't believe that it's the place of the government, any government agency, to get into that. That's my management decision. It should be up to me how I manage my resources.
770-570 toll free 1-800-687-0790. We'll go ahead. We'll take the break. When we come back, we'll continue our visit with the good folks from the Protect Water Rights Coalition. We'll also tell you how you can get in touch, how you can get involved, and we may talk about some other EPA news and everything else with these guys when we come back. All right, back on the Chad Hastie Show, News Talk 790 KFYO, Protect Water Rights Coalition in studio. Leland and J.O. back with us today. Guys, we've been talking about, obviously, private property rights. That is, and it seems like there's an assault on private property rights all over the place. So, of course, you are talking about water that's under your land. And the common sense would tell you it's your land, it's your water. If you own the land, you own the water. That's common sense. I guess a lot of people out there don't have that type of common sense, though.
Well, I have the privilege of paying taxes on it every year, yeah, based on the value of that land, which, yep, is a function. The water is a function of the value of the land. So, you know, that should tell you something right there.
They're just not. They're might not making you just pay a little small portion of that water. Or,
yeah, right. Like
they're making you pay the full.
Yeah, the full deal.
The full deal. Yeah. Okay. All right.
They're going to reduce your taxes to the same amount they're reducing your water.
Right. Yeah. Right. Uh-huh.
Let me ask you guys about this, obviously y'all have been probably going to a bunch of these town hall forums, or you've heard from the candidates, and there's a very important race in SD 28 that's going on right now. What are you looking for? What have you heard from the candidates when they talk about water rights and private property? Because this is something that for the candidates, it's a very specialized issue. You know, it's not one of those where they can come in over on 50th Street and really, you know, connect to a lot of people when they talk about water rights and private property. But to you guys and to a large swath of SD 28, y'all are very concerned, and a lot of people are concerned about that. So what are you hearing from the candidates out there?
Well, I think our main thing is, Charles Perry has been the only one that has ever spoken to the compensation aspect of it, and you know, that's all it takes. If there's a need, there's a way to get it. And all this land was divvied out by land patent, and it did come with the water. It came with everything that was not retained by the state, and so the proper way to get it back is, if there's a need, they need to buy it back. And that makes it all constitutional, all great and good. And this water is just the vehicle. Just watch the news and look at what the EPA is doing all across the country. And there's a water grab going on. And what it is a property grab. It's not about the water. The water is just the vehicle to get the rest of it done.
Yeah. And, you know, I want to point out in this 28 race, you know, Mr. Arrington, he goes on, you know, and says one of his functions, one of the things he wants to do is protect water rights. But he also views it as a shared resource. Well, I'd like to know what shared resource he has that he's willing to share. You know, his bank account, his home, car, maybe, you know. Is he willing to share that? And my water is my bank account.
Right.
It just is. That's my living. That's how I derive my living. And, you know.
And if other people need it?
Then they need to pay for it.
Right.
And so I'm enthused about Charles Perry, because he is the only one that has mentioned that.
Yeah. And I think it's a very important issue, obviously, for you guys, but also just for everyone else out there, because it does come down to private property rights at the end of the day, whether it's water, whatever it may be, whatever the issue is, it comes down to private property rights. And like you said, we've seen with this government before, with the federal government, they're not against land grabs.
That's right. And it doesn't matter if you're in town, if you've got a lot in town, your house in town, you own the water underneath it. And I think one of the rules, and I haven't read them since they finally got them all cemented in, but I think one of the things they were going to give the water district, the contiguous acres, to the municipalities. The water district was given all the city limits over to count as their contiguous acres. Well, you can't count a contiguous acre twice. Mm-hmm. So does that mean that the people with a lot in town or house in town, they now no longer can count their own acres as owning the water under it? I don't know. I don't know exactly what it, you know, that's probably one of those deals that'll have to be tested in the court system probably one of these days.
Well, in the last session, Senator Salinger from Amarillo, Senate Bill 272, I believe. There's so much of it.
Yeah.
But anyway, one of the proposals was to institute a user fee of some kind.
Right.
Which, you know, that could come back and hit the urban folks, you know, that happen to have their own water well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's all kinds of slippery slopes here that you can go down.
Let's take a question. We have a caller who has a question for you guys. And Rick, go ahead. You're on the air with the folks from the Protect Water Rights Coalition.
Okay, I have a question here. Since we've already had the Day case that established a taking, what excuse or reason are they giving you as to not putting this in the same category, either eminent domain or what have you like that, and the taking and being a compensation?
Well, the president of the board, the way he explained it, he said that was a different case with different facts because it was the EAA, Edwards Aquifer Authority. But, you know, in our, like Leland was saying a while ago, the Supreme Court decision should reach across the whole state.
Sure.
And in that particular case, the Supreme Court did not define the damages. They referred it back to the district court to define the damages on that. And rather than go to the district court, the EAA chose to settle for just under $1 million.
Right. Yeah. Folks, appreciate you tuning in for this, Protect Water Rights Coalition segment, because it's a very important issue, obviously. Leland, J.O., thanks for coming in. Tell folks real quick how they can get in touch with y'all.
ProtectWaterRights.com, is that right, Jim?
Yes, that's okay. Correct. Yep. And we welcome anybody's input, and we will get back to you.
Our phone numbers are on the website.
Great. Guys, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.